You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Man, what a monster game that was by LeBron.
Which we've seen over and over again. Jaylen Brown gets in, flushes hard with the left hand. And on a night, LeBron James becomes the NBA's all-time leading scorer against the Boston Celtics. He drops 44. And the Eastern Conference Finals, once a best of seven, is now a best of three. Cavs get game four by a final of 111-102. The best of three begins Wednesday night in Boston.
Final hour, Felger and Maserati here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Simulcast remains up across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us 24-7.
And the world.
On the 98.5. I don't think we go around the world.
I think we're in Canada.
I think we're only in U.S. territories. I don't know if we can go into Canada.
Puerto Rico?
I know we get into Puerto Rico and we get into Guam and places like this.
Once we leave mainland U.S., baby, that's the world.
So, either way. But the app certainly fires up wherever you want it. It's the live stream. Catch us anytime on that. Or the podcast. If you miss an hour, a segment, a day of Felger and Maz, and who could possibly stand missing any Felger and Maz, if you do, fire up the app and you get it right there. And if there's a portion of the segment you don't like, you can hit the little 2X button and just sort of fast forward through the thing. Really convenient button.
Tremendous.
Okay. So that's how you get us. Was it a little strong for me to refer to Dakota and Braintree as one of the most prominent green teamers attached to the show?
No. I think that technically that is accurate.
That's kind of fair.
Attached to the show.
Yeah, it was a little strong.
Attached.
I didn't say he worked for the show. Either way, one of the founding members of the BradBot Society is renouncing his BradBot status. Is that right, Dakota?
Brad Stevens, as this series has gone on, has morphed into a combination of Joe Prenti and Brett Brown. Okay?
Oh, God.
It has been pathetic, okay? What do you think? These games have been won predominantly in the first quarter. Would it be safe to say that? Yes. Okay. In the first quarter is pretty much, all right, I'm going to put my guys against your guys, and you're going to run this, and we're going to run that. And after game one, when the Celtics outscored Cleveland 36-18 and ran away, Cleveland, Ty Lue, made a change, a tweak, put Tristan Thompson in. And then Brad said, okay, let me go with my guys. They got me here. And then to start the second quarter, within 2 minutes of going, oh, my God, wait a minute, this is not working, let me take Tatum out, put in Baines, put Morris back on covering LeBron. What do the Celtics go and do in game two in the second quarter? They outscore Cleveland 36-22. But now we go to Cleveland. Game three, I'm going back to my original starting five that I didn't like enough to pull Tatum from within 2 minutes of game two. And what do you do? You get outscored 32-17 in game three. C'est la vie. In game four, you have another shot to make another change that you did in game two by pulling Tatum out 2 minutes in a game in the third quarter. And what do? They get outscored 34-18. These games are being lost in the first quarter. In Cleveland, as Michael, as you have said countless times, they are the biggest front-running team known to mankind. The last thing you want to do is let the biggest front-running team in mankind history get out to a first-quarter lead. You don't do it. So you need to do something differently. This is becoming insane.
Dakota, quickly, what would you do? Give me one thing.
I would move Tatum to the bench, start Baines so you could have Morris on LeBron, because Jaylen Brown can't cover LeBron. And if he does, he lets him go right to the hoop because he can't afford to pick up any fouls. It's all there in black and white. Baines and Morris start. Tatum come off the bench because they have no scoring to come off the bench now that they've moved Morris into the starting lineup. So now when you go to that second unit, it's a bunch of mishaps going on right now. And if Brad Stevens comes out, he's going to do or die with his stubbornness right now and say, no, this is the way I want to play it, even though his players cannot perform the way that they need to win.
Okay, I'm just going to cut you off there. I'll take some Brad Stevens second guessing. It's just refreshing.
Sure.
It's refreshing to hear. I don't know if I totally agree with it because I just wonder what's going to happen. They're going to get home. And instead of missing their first three dunks, they're going to dunk the basketball. They're going to, instead of missing 16 layups, they're going to hit 14 of their 16 layups. The crowd's going to get up. Cleveland's going to pack it in. The Celtics are going to win by 15 points, and everyone's going to come out of that game saying, boy, well, how about Brad Stevens' adjustments? Like, I just have a hard time getting past the fact that that's the way this series has gone. And so, like, it's the thing you make the point that you made early on, that LeBron's point after game one about feeling the thing out he actually may have been doing.
Well, so again, after game one, LeBron was asked about it, and he said, you know, you guys know me. I like to sort of feel my way, see what they're doing. Game one to me is a analysis game. Take a read and see what's happening. Right, feel out game, exactly. I think he might be right. Having watched these last two games, it feels to me like LeBron's picking them apart.
Okay, so some of that is true, and it's a good point, except I'd feel better about that overall trend if someone did that on the road. Versus the teams being completely different, whether they're in their gym or the other gym. Look at the defensive contest numbers from both of these teams. When Cleveland was in Boston, they contested 58% of the Celtics shots, only 58%. They go home, it's 77%. They contest 19% more shots at home versus on the road. You get here, they cave. You go back to Cleveland, Kyle Korver's jumping on the, you know, diving after the ball, after loose balls, and they're winning all the 50-50s. And it's just, again, I find it maddening that some of these NBA series lapse into this, but this is what I'm seeing, even more than the coaching. I think there is some truth to the fact that LeBron James and the Cleveland offense is certainly dictating some matchups. Certainly LeBron on Rozier, and that thing has absolutely happened. But until I see Cleveland do that on the road, or you do something there, I think that's a secondary consideration of where these stupid games are being played.
Well, so it is. I just don't know where to go with that discussion.
I know.
It's just maddening to watch.
It's maddening.
It comes down to these babies being more comfortable at home.
On both sides.
So J.R. Smith has really had two great games. Especially if you listen on the radio. When J.R. Smith hits a three, the PA announcer comes over and goes, J.R. Swish. And you know, because J.R. Smith's such a child, you know he's like, oh, yeah, now I'm feeling it. I got the crowd behind me. The PA is shouting out my name and this stupid nickname. I feel more comfortable to get in a groove. Here, he's lost. He's J.R. Smith, the hack.
What a joke, right, that it comes down to this? But there was so much stuff with the Celtics last night. Like, just so much bad basketball. Like, just Marcus Smart alone. The three-pointers that he attempts within, you know, 7 seconds of the shot clock. I swear to you, he backed down Tristan Thompson into the low post and tried to shoot over him in the first half. His turnovers, I love the behind-the-back pass behind the opposing rim. He had one turnover at the top of the key where he tried to do like a dipsy-do offensively, like some sort of dribble dipsy-do thing. Immediately got stolen. He had to foul in this two free throws for Cleveland. Remember that one? And then the one where he dove on the floor and then threw it into the front row?
That was my favorite.
I like that one as well.
Work hard to get the ball and then chuck it out of bounds.
All those missed dunks, all those missed layups. The missed dunks, like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, were right there. That wasn't even contested that bad. And they missed their dunks. And then they just showed one on ESPN that I forgot about. I didn't mention earlier. Remember, this was in the second half. There was a loose ball situation and it came to Baines all alone under the hoop. And his teammates had to point him to the basket? Do you remember that one? Like, he gets the ball, and he looks around, and like they all
He turned and he looked at Al Horford and said, what do I do? And Horford said, go to the basket.
And they all started pointing. No, the basket's that way. You're all alone. And he had to be pointed to the basket. Like, there was so much weird stuff. You know,
if I needed further proof that Al Horford ran the offense.
It's not going to happen in Boston. And Cleveland's going to do those things. And then we're going to talk about what an idiot Tyronn Lue is. And then we're going to go to Cleveland, who's going to flip again. We're going to talk about, Brad Stevens and all that. Like, so I need to see some of these road teams win before I start saying about series trends and adjustments and blah, blah, blah. Other than LeBron finding Rozier, what's really been a trend other than home road?
Well, look, there hasn't been a lot. But at the same, look, if you want to tell me, Dakota, you want to try some different things, you want to get Baines in there, you want to put Smart in there instead of Rozier, fine. But you know what the reality is? People like Dakota, and I say like him, the Brad bots, gave too much credit to Stevens at the beginning. And they're giving him too much blame now. Because the coach in that league is maybe 10% of it. If that. The reality is that no matter what he does, Steven sat up in that podium last night. And it felt to me like he was a little exasperated. As if to say, you know, what about the switches with Rozier and LeBron getting on Rozier?
Well, Jimmy, let's hear that real quick. Let's just hear that. Steven's on Rozier switches. Is there a resignation here?
Well, he's going to go after whoever he wants to go after. But at the end of the day, we've gone through it a lot. I think one of the things that sometimes we all get consumed with is the points he scores on that switch. If it's 8, but it keeps you from rotating and you can still guard the 3-point line, then sometimes you just have to pick your poison.
So that line, pick your poison. Like, to me, this is how I thought they were going to play it from the beginning. Let LeBron get his 50. Who gives a rat's ass? I don't care how many points LeBron gets at the end of the night. I care about one thing and one thing only. The W. That's it. The win. And so if LeBron gets 50, and I think that that's what Stevens is saying in some regard. Like, hey, if Rozier runs up on him and he scores, we'll take it. It's better than three. Because if we collapse and switch, and Rozier's running to the wrong guy out of that scatter switch that they do, you know, when the ball goes in, Rozier takes off and a big guy comes over. But if Rozier runs to the wrong guy, LeBron is so freaking good, he will find the guy that's open.
Well, that's what Steven said, too. Play that next one, Jimmy, just to hear it.
He's the best in the game at evaluating the court and figuring out what he wants and where he wants it. You know, you just have to battle. You just have to make it as hard as possible because he's going to find a matchup that he ultimately wants. And you have to, again, not let the other guys go off, and which we did again a little bit, and then make sure you make it as tough on him as possible.
So what Stevens is saying is that there's nothing I can do against this guy.
Exactly. Like at some point he throws up his arms and it's like, hey, fellas, they're talking to the media. I'm the coach. Like, what do you want me to do, go there and guard him?
Okay, I still think, and I'm not renouncing my Brad Bot status. Well, what, just as I jump on, you jump off? Like, give it a little time, Dakota. Let's let this, marinate a little bit.
You guys can drink on that wagon.
I'm still waiting for there to be a close game for me to see the difference in coaching. If there's going to be 13, 11, 25, 30-point spreads, what's the... This is that coach that's not, you know, that's not one single adjustment. That's not one single thing. That's one team caving. And that's all I've seen in this series, for the most part, is teams caving. So let me see a game that goes into the fourth quarter where I get some tactical things that are going on and some late substitutions and some plays out of timeouts and some timeout usage and all of that. And then let me tell you what the coaching is. So far, it's really feels like it's been it has been LeBron versus Stevens, and I just think it's been more about the gym than about those players.
See, the problem is Cleveland's coach is on the floor.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So, Greg, do you think this is about Guerrero, about the contract, or about Tom saying he's sick of the way Bill runs it?
I think it's all of it. All of it has added up, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. The Garoppolo being there, no contract extension, then Guerrero, then Bill's just busting his chops in front of everybody. Then the Butler thing, like, I think it just all just came to a head. And Brady said, you know what? And this is why you go from on TV12 from, I'm giving up my life. You know, are you going to do that? Because that's the only way you're going to beat me. To the end of TV12 is, why are we doing these things? You know, I have to ask questions about, why am I doing this? I think that's what you saw, the whole building over the whole course of the last year plus. It came to a head, and he said, why am I doing this? You know what? I think I can still be effective, but give my family the time that they require, and, you know, we'll try it this way once, because right now I'm not having a whole lot of fun with what's going on.
The family thing just becomes harder and harder to swallow. When Brady was there today, he was in Foxborough, just not with his team. So if he's on a family retreat somewhere, okay, he's sacrificing football for the family. Got it.
It's a cop-out.
But he got up and went to Foxborough today. He just wouldn't go inside the stadium to work with his teammates. Again, according to Karen Garigian, who said the last 2 days that Brady and Gronkowski have been getting their treatments at TB12 as usual. So he's here, he's getting up, he's going to Gillette, or to Patriot Place anyway. So I find it harder and harder to, you know, keep hearing that family thing. I was holding out the possibility that he had a legit family thing.
It's a cop-out.
And he had to spend more time with his kids, had to spend more time with the family for whatever reason, a personal reason. And then that sort of changes, I think, the discussion. I was holding out that possibility, and maybe that's still true, I suppose. But it's hard to claim family when you're still getting up and going to Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Mike, it's a cop-out. It's a way to justify it to the fans and to hide behind it in front of the fans. That's what it is. The Super Bowl ended 3 months ago. He's had plenty of time with his family. This stuff is routine, these camps.
All right, so let's get to the callers. Jason in the car. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, guys. Thanks again for taking my call. I was calling about the Brady thing. I just wanted to quickly... Aaron Baines thing last night. You guys think he just thought he was like in the middle of the court? I was trying to figure out.
How do you lose your place on a basketball court? There's only two ends.
It was like 3 seconds he had the ball.
That was unbelievable.
He was standing there in the middle of the lane. It was unbelievable. He could have just turned around and dunked. But I thought that was just a symptom of what was going on. They were playing really hard, but it's just something mentally was missing there.
That's right.
on the other court. So, my main point, when I called in about a half hour ago, I was a little more fired up at the time. This guy called in, and he was just whining about how Belichick is the only reason the Pats have won over the last 18 years. And Tom, it's just this fire and brimstone thing on both sides. Like, there's two sides to it. I'm with you guys on the Brady thing, that he should have gone to OTAs, but to say that Belichick is the only reason, that's just
ridiculous.
Talk about a cop-out. Come on.
Ridiculous.
Yes, I think it's asinine. Again, because it is. Ultimately, we know it's both of them. Bill's system gets him to a certain place, and his philosophies and his values and the structure, it gets him to a certain place. And Tom's ability also brings him to another area. Like, you know, you put the two of them together, you get what you get. That's what it is. You take either one of them out of the equation, it doesn't work the same way.
Jake in New York on the Celtics. Hi, Jake.
Hi. I think we all know after Game 3 and Game 4 that the Celtics need some adjustments and they can't run away with this series. So I was thinking that Marcus Morris on LeBron has been iffy at best recently. So what about Marcus Smart on LeBron?
Okay, so I think, and I'm just going to cut you off there. We were talking about playing Smart more for Rozier because when they switch, LeBron switching onto Marcus Smart versus Rozier, which is better for you, no question about it.
Smart.
Yes, having Smart be involved in that switch versus Rozier is better for the Celts. You lose something offensively, but that's a way to combat that switch that just tore him apart last night defensively. The thing about Morris, I'd rather have Morris on LeBron than Jaylen Brown.
Me too.
Because, again, Jaylen Brown burns fouls doing that as well.
But ultimately, and this is another area where I disagree with Dakota, you're not stopping LeBron either way. Don't delude yourself into this Marcus Morris nonsense. Okay, and I say nonsense. Is he a better option than Brown? Yes. Sure, there's a little more muscle there. Is he going to stop him? No.
Kyle in Foxborough on Brady. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Jim. So you've been fully behind Tom Brady, saying that he's the most important part of the organization.
Yes, sir.
You know who the Patriots are without Bill Belichick? They're Felger's beloved Packers with a Hall of Fame quarterback, a boob of a coach, no system, no clue, and no chance.
But they won a Super Bowl in 2010. And
one.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, right. Wouldn't you rather have your five?
I have those. But going forward, I could get another one if Bill would just walk away or at least acquiesce and not be such a hard ass with Brady. Maybe. You know, I know one more could certainly be in play here with Brady whether he's playing, but if Belichick were to walk away right now and I still get to have Brady and Gronk here, yeah, they'd win another one. They still have as good a chance as ever. If it's Josh McDaniels, that's the head coach instead of Belichick.
I'm not convinced.
I mean, just look at the two I mean, I keep going to history, but the Niners could have hung on with Joe Montana. They had Steve Young ready to go, but Joe Montana is the legend and was the fan favorite. And this is not a perfect comparison because Montana had fallen off physically and Brady has not. But they still could have done that and not upset their fans, but they chose the system and the program over the player. In Green Bay, Ted Thompson wanted to ride Ted Thompson out on a burning stake when he let Brett Favre go to the Jets. But again, he chose coach, system, organization over favorite player. That's what the good teams do. That's what those best transitions are. And the Pats sort of gagged on it. They came up short of doing it. And now they're sort of paying the price. Which, again, I'll just say, would have been worth it if Brady's still all on board and still giving me everything that he gave me before that decision. But now he's not. Now he's raising a stink about his trainer. He's not showing up in the offseason. He's purposely skipping offseason workouts. He's putting it in his coach's face and undermining his coach by still showing up the day of workouts, but turning right before he gets to the stadium and working out with this private guy across the parking lot, which is such an F you to the coach, it's not even funny. Like, that shouldn't have been in the bargain. I'm willing to trade Garoppolo if I'm getting the same Brady, but it turns out I'm not getting the same Brady, am I? So that's the frustrating part to me.
See, that's why if I'm Kraft, I dig in my heels on the contract. It's not Bill's decision to give him the contract. It's Kraft's. And if I'm Kraft, I say, Tom, I did my favor to you, and this is how you repay us. You're not getting the deal. You decide whether you want to play
but
or not.
Who was the first to make it petty? So all that went down, and Garoppolo's gone. And okay, Brady can now be happy. But then all of a sudden, a few weeks into the season, the head coach decides, your trainer, I don't like him around. He can't come with us anymore either. In fact, if you want to work with him, you have to go to your little institute right up the road instead. I don't want him around anymore. So it's petty first on Belichick's behalf. And how is Brady supposed to react? Like the consummate professional like he always has?
Yes.
No, you get pissed off, you act accordingly.
We all work for the man, Jim. We all have a boss.
Right, that's true.
And sometimes the boss is wrong.
So this is where the Butler thing does factor in. Until Super Bowl 52, where this guy plays his ass off and throws for over 500 yards and realizes, you know, if we could only make a defensive stop here, if Hardass over here would just put a guy who helped us win the last one, or the second to last one, back onto the field. Put him on the field. Why won't you do that? Oh, because you're being petty again? Oh, and you cost me my sixth ring. So of course he's going to be pissed off. I don't blame him for not acting like the consummate professional that he has time and time again over 18 years.
See, Murray, I'll give you the Butler decision being petty. I won't give you Guerrero being petty. That's not petty. That's a reality that cannot exist in an NFL locker room.
So this is where they all right. So this is where they're all at fault. So Tom also has to say, you know, if I can have him around, if it's only for me or like me and Gronk, he won't infiltrate the rest of the team and have him try to work with him. How about that? Can we come to that kind of a compromise? I know it's a problem for you, Bill, that my guy is now telling our training staff and your training staff how they should be working out. Instead, he'll just leave all of them alone, and he can only work with me. Can he please travel with the team again, or can he have his office back in the stadium, or are you going to be a hard ass about this, and I have to travel up the road to go see him? And Bill ain't willing to budge.
So he can work. He can treat him at the stadium, right?
But look,
I mean, that's still allowed. He's just not allowed on the flights.
I'm not telling you Bill's been right on a lot of these things. He's been wrong on most of them. The Guerrero stuff I agree with him on, but the rest is the Butler stuff. I mean, he's been wrong. He's still the boss. Like, that's still that's the way it has to operate in football. It has to. Right or wrong, that's your guy. You can't pick the player over that guy.
I mean, it's ultimately how it has to operate in many places. Like in football, is just the extreme. Once you introduce, the ability to undermine the leader, well, forget it. What do you have a leader for? What's the point?
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta. Junta.
Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, Tom's not here today. Have you guys spoken at length about...
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the people that aren't here. The guys that are here are improving, they're working hard, and those are the guys we're going to focus on.
All right, so Belichick giving the standard answer he would for most guys. I mean, he could have done the, I've spoken to Tom, and some guys have different commitments that they have to get to. We're just going to coach the guys that are here. I mean, he could have given you one of those, but instead it's just the generic, only talking about the people who are here. And Tom's definitely not there. Our friend Scott Zolak has just tweeted something, apparently.
We should do this appropriately, Mike.
Okay.
What? This is breaking sports news.
Hold on.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, so we got a I want to do a play on words with Zoe. A Zupdate?
Zupdate, oh. Yes. A Zupdate from our own Scott Zolak, verified on Twitter, who just tweeted minutes ago. Brady training at TB12 while OTA is going on. 100% inaccurate. Probably won't even be in U.S. tomorrow.
Okay, that's better.
Okay, but I still say the same thing. What's he doing?
Well, he was in New York over the weekend.
And you're doing what?
I don't know.
Just hanging with his family. There's been photos.
But the other thing is, in the past, Brady left open this part of his schedule because he knew he was going to be at OTAs. Like, see, this is why, to me, like, it's worse. It's worse.
The thing about being down there at Gillette is an optics thing.
Absolutely.
A F you to Bill thing.
And it's a direct F. Like, that, to me, is the ultimate finger. But it still doesn't change my overall opinion on the thing, which is that Brady didn't make an effort to come. Fact.
Well, we did send down our shadows. We have... some kids on job shadows that instead of, you know, lurking around here and picking their nose all day, watching us do a radio show.
And then eating it.
We actually sent them down to Gillette because I've wanted the stakeouts. I want someone sitting behind the TB12 method. I want someone in the parking lot at Gillette Stadium to see where Brady and Gronkowski, are they showing up with the team or are they showing up at Guerrero's? And really, it's about Guerrero because we'll know if they're with the team or not. But where are they? So we sent our kids there today. And I'm not joking. If you're watching the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, they did send some pictures back of what they saw going out the door at TB12. And there's Alex Guerrero today. So Guerrero was there. There's the picture from our shadows. And that, we believe, is a picture of Gisele Bündchen in her Land Rover, but that might not be. I can't confirm nor deny. That's just a gal
in a
fancy car.
These creeps.
So our shadows.
But our shadow did snap Alex Guerrero, smiling, it looks like, coming out of the back door of the TB12. We did not see Brady or Gronkowski. So we have not been able to personally confirm nor deny Kieran Garijian's report about Brady and Gronkowski getting treatment at TB12 the last 2 days. Zoe has resoundingly shot that story down.
100% inaccurate are the words that he uses in this tweet. Brady training at TB12 while OTA is going on. 100% inaccurate. Probably won't even be in U.S. tomorrow.
Okay, but that doesn't speak about... Karen just said yesterday and today.
Yeah.
So Karen said nothing about tomorrow.
So the shadows, when they sent the photo of Gisele, they said it's a bad photo. And I said...
Perfect, we'll use it.
I said, are you sure it's her? And they said... 99.99% we think it's her.
Oh, it's probably not.
Which, to me, puts it at 50-50. Yeah, it felt like, they said she was tall, came out of there, like, you know, dirty blonde hair is how they phrased it. And I thought, okay, like 50-50-ish.
I can confirm that that was Alex Guerrero coming out of Alex Guerrero's training facility. So that we have. We did not see Brady or Gronk, but we did do the stakeout. We did the stakeout today, so we cannot, as Zoe has done, completely deny or nor confirm Karen's report. But Zoe is denying it, which, again, I think Brady training down there is such a bad look and does take it to another level because it's just so openly defiant of Belichick that it takes it to another level. So I I love Karen. I hope she's right, but I hope she's wrong, you know, for the benefit of the story. If Karen's right, it's worse than we thought, you know. So part of me hopes she's wrong. It's not that bad that Brady's not going to be that openly defiant and disdainful of his coach to still go down there, which says nothing of Gronkowski. So Zoe didn't mention the Gronkowski
nothing
part of it.
About Gronk.
Okay. So we continue with your call. Sandy in North Andover on the Celtics. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I just want to say I don't know what the big, huge deal is about the Celtics losing last night. I mean, they only lost by 9, and obviously they, you know, aren't that great on the road. But I don't think it's a big deal and a big surprise about, you know, that a lot of people thought it would probably come to a Game 7. So I don't really, you know, see the big deal.
So the big deal is, Sandy, the big deal, the big deal would be the trend. The big deal would be a trend if you believe there's one. Or did it just simply, did the Cavs go to their gym and that's the way this series is going? It's one of these home road series. Are there trends that concern you? Are the trends that concern you, Jimmy Stewart? Or Jim Murray?
Yeah, the freight train of LeBron James has seemingly woken up and decided to be interested in this series. And so far, Brad has had no response to it. And Brad, who seemingly coached so well in 1 and 2, can't figure it out in Cleveland. The only thing for Brad that has changed is the building. Figure it out and win the series, Brad.
The trends of the first quarters, and it's, Dakota mentioned it earlier. I mean, these last two games were lost in the first quarter. It ended up being what in that first half? 7 for 26 or 7, whatever it was. They started 4 for 14. And after that, I was like, oh, well, here we go again. And you let LeBron James get 22 points in that first half, too. That has a lot to do with Terry Rozier. So you have to get him off of LeBron James.
Figure it out, Brad.
Right. Figure it out, Brad.
So I'll tell you, the trend that bothers me is LeBron's efficiency. I feel like LeBron is getting, in a lot of ways, better every game or more efficient every game. So, you know, in Cleveland, he's made 25 out of 40. I mean, that's 63%. That's ridiculous. And if you go to game two, he was 16 for 29 that night. He took a ton of shots that night, but he made most of them. So I feel like other than game one, where he was 5 for 16, LeBron is starting to figure out how to beat the Celtics. And so in game two, he put a Herculean effort out there and his teammates didn't answer. But it feels like he's getting even better now. Billy, and so that worries me.
Billy in Lakeville with the Patriot Thought. Hi, Billy.
How you doing? Hey, Jim. Anyway, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, they're going to get destroyed by Golden State, so just let it happen now anyway. I mean, as far as Murray, I mean, really, you grabbing on Belichick all the time is a disgrace. I mean, Brady is the problem. Brady is the one that's holding this team hostage. I mean, if Garoppolo was dead, would you ever believe that he would not be at practice right now?
Well, I don't care about that. If Garoppolo was here, yay, let's finish 10-6 and get knocked out in the playoffs.
That's
Garoppolo.
Not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying.
No, I'm saying that he would be there on time. He would be worried about his job, Jim.
Would Brady be pulling this if Garoppolo were still here?
Well, no, of course not, because he'd be worried about losing his job.
Exactly.
So you don't think that looks bad for Brady? Is he doing this on principle?
No, he's doing it to stick it to the coach. That's all there is to it. It's pettiness, and I can live with that. It motivates people that way,
so you know what?
To do terrible things.
At least you're acknowledging what it is, and you're endorsing the proper thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm endorsing the pettiness.
Yeah, you're on the side of the quarterback, but you understand that he's being petty.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Howard in Stoughton. Your thoughts, Howard.
Exactly. Hello?
Yes, Howard, you're on the air.
Yeah, I like to say that Brady doesn't have to go to this OTC. I mean, you're making a big fuss over it, and that's as right as the quarterback not to go. And if him and Gronkowski got a raise, they would be there. And I just think that Belichick thinks he's the supreme.
He is the supreme leader. He is Howard. That's the whole deal. That's what those football coaches are. That's the way it's structured down there. Bill has complete control, and he has for almost two decades. Yep, exactly. And Kraft has willed it away. That's the point. Yes.
Yeah, look, you know, to me, you got to have that sort of structure set up if the thing's going to work. If the operation
is going to work over a long period of time. We've seen a lot of teams do it a lot of different ways, have flashes where they're really good for a couple of years. But if you're going to be really good for a long period of time, I do think the Patriot way, quote unquote, is probably the only way.
Because I just feel like those short-term teams end up doing it largely on talent. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks with Pete Carroll. Okay, really, when you look at it, that team was loaded. They were loaded on defense. They hit the jackpot with Russell Wilson at quarterback, all of it. So, but now what happens? They get worse over time because the thing doesn't stay buttoned down.
Okay, I got a call from Diamond. He's in parts unknown. Yes, Diamond.
Yes, I'm calling about Celtics role play. Number one, J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver have got to be contained under 15 points in order to
Okay, so Diamond, I'm sorry. Yours is just the kind of phone that no one can hear. I guarantee you there's people all over the place in their cars who just had to turn you up to listen to it. And it's just, I can't do that. Can't. He mentioned Korver and J.R. Smith have to be contained in Cleveland.
But I think generally he's right. Again, if you look at the games that Cleveland has won in this series, other than the fact that they've been played in Cleveland, they got production out of those guys. Korver and Smith made shots. Like once those.
Okay, so were the Celtics any different on them in Cleveland than in Boston? Or were those guys just home and they feel more comfortable at home because the announcer says, we hit a three-pointer, so they feel better about themselves?
I would say a little bit of both. A little bit of both. So again, now, I can't tell you which one is the greater cause, but I think it's a little bit of both. Again, you know, they're doing it a little differently. They're creating a little more space for these guys than they did in Boston. At the same time, the Celtics aren't playing with the same level of defensive energy and intensity that they played with here. So the arena, absolutely. I mean, again, the arena is the biggest factor. It is. But I also think there have been some tweaks.
Charles in Boston on Tom Brady. Hi, Charles.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So a couple things. One is Tom Brady used his relationship with Bob Kraft to get rid of Garoppolo, which is allowing him to behave this way and have leverage on them. Also, I don't know why the fans give him such a pass when in that Super Bowl, we don't know if Butler would have made a difference or not, but what we do know is that if Brady had caught that pass, they would have been in scoring position and would have scored points, and he fumbled the ball at the end of the game, which is where they have all those that won those Super Bowls. At the end of the game, they're in the same position and fumbled the ball.
Okay, so should Brady be getting more blame for the Super Bowl loss?
No.
Yes.
I mean, the strip sack is what it is.
Yes, he fumbled on the last drive.
So when you say it is what it is, Matt, what does that mean?
I mean, if the quarterback gets the ball knocked out of his hand, he's partially accountable for that play.
He missed White on the checkdown, okay? Terrible play. Missed James White on that checkdown.
Hold on to the ball.
Well, maybe don't be in that position because your effing defense can't get off the effing field on third down time and again in the second half because the stubborn a-hole on the sideline decides to bench one of his better defensive players.
Yeah, look, if you ask me to list the things that cost the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady's not in the top 10.
But is he in the top 10?
No, I just said he's not in the top 10.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, not in the top 10. I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
Jimmy.
Woo!
That was, again, that was an in-your-face I'm not listening.
Yeah, that's okay. I do it all the time.
I misunderstood it. So he's not, so that's not even in the top 10.
I don't think so. I mean, because if I'm starting a list, you know, does Jordan Richards get 2, 3, and 4 all by
his own category?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I sort of look at it that way. And Belichick is up high on that list, too. But we can't just ignore the play. It's not a zero. I mean, is it a, you know...
So the fumble, let me tell you why I have to give the quarterback a little bit. It was on the front side, right?
Absolutely!
It wasn't one of these blind side, the left tackle, Olay'd the rusher, and the quarterback never saw him. Like, there's a lot of those you can say, well, what's the quarterback going to do? Brady had him, you know...
It's brutal.
It was front side.
Yeah, and look, ultimately, the quarterback has to have pocket presence. If we're going to sit there and talk about how he has such great pocket presence, then the pocket's collapsing and he spits up the ball in the final 2 minutes of the Super Bowl. Well, then he blacked it on that okay. play.
Do we blame him at all for not catching the ball?
No. Stupid play.
I hated the pass.
No, I hated the play.
Why is Amendola leading him like he's, you know, Skeets Nehemiah or something? Pop it up there, just get the first down and let's, you know, I hated the pass.
No.
The play was stupid.
It was stupid.
I mean, it was wide open.
Why you
said the Eagles ran the same play to win the game, to score touchdowns. What are you talking about?
But their quarterback is actually athletic.
But Brady's shown a history to do this.
He's not 40.
What do you mean Brady's shown a history to do this?
They've run that play before and he's caught the ball and he's run down the field.
So again, my question is, for what purpose? A 5-yard gain?
First down. It was fourth down.
Woo!
Yep, first downs are important, Maz.
Yeah, you needed to dust off that play for first down.
It was wide open. It worked. The play worked.
And it's worked in the past for this team.
Was it a fourth down play?
I believe it was. Yep.
Oh, I don't remember. I'm going to go back and check.
Yeah, it was fourth down.
I don't believe it was. Either way, I don't care.
Has anybody asked Bill why Butler didn't play yet?
Can we ask him again? That's a good question. That's a good point, Jimmy.
I mean, that's what people want to know. Why didn't Butler play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he's going to say he's only going to talk about the players that are here.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, only one place
nobody.
To go. Town Fair Tire. The
nobody.
Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Okay, quick Felger Maz correction. I was wrong. Amendola to Brady, 3rd and 5, correct?
Yep.
Correct.
And then 4th down, they did what?
They chucked the ball down the sideline to Gronk on the sideline way deep down the field.
I don't remember that.
Was that pass completed, Maz?
No.
Right.
What are you talking about?
No, so it's just another terrible play.
Yeah,
stupid Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, that's the future head coach is the one that called that play, apparently. Yeah, freaking offensive wizard, Hank Stram Jr.
So as usual, I'm the a-hole.
All right, so be that as it may, though, of all the things that have pissed off people over the last couple of games in the Eastern Conference Finals, the one guy that continues to drive you nuts, Felger, is one Jeff Green.
Oh, my God.
Of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
What a disgrace.
The Celtics got within 8 there in the 3rd and 4th quarters.
Oh, and I have a 2-word explanation for that. Jeff Green. Do you watch this guy play basketball?
He's horrible.
Do you watch this?
He's an embarrassment.
Do you watch him?
He is horrid. He is horrid.
He has shots that never get above the rim. Like those line drives that he chucks into the bottom of the rim. Do you notice this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay attention to how long it takes him to process. He'll get the ball on the wing and just the amount of time it takes for him to think about what he's going to do with it. That guy is a freaking embarrassment to the sport. Painful to watch that guy. I think that's who came in when Love went out.
I think that's right. And I remember looking at, I don't have the metrics in front of me right now, but I was looking up some of the defensive metrics. He was the worst defensive player on the
floor. Oh, he sucks. Oh, does he suck?
He is brutal.
Oh, you suck.
So bad.
Get off my television. I can't watch you. I can't. You are an affront.
Someday I want someone to ask Danny Ainge what he saw in that guy.
So that's a whole different story. Green's gotten worse, if that was possible. He's gotten worse. Oh, does he blow?
So just indulge me for a second. Can we play the very beginning of that again?
Yeah.
Listen to the group disdain for this guy.
He's disgusting to watch.
like, really, as soon as his name comes up, it's like, oh, my God. Go ahead, go. The Celtics got within eight there in the third and fourth quarters.
Oh, and I have a two-word explanation for that. Jeff Green. Do you watch this guy play basketball?
He's horrible.
Do you watch this?
He's an embarrassment.
Do you watch him?
He is horrid. He is horrid.
He has shots that never get above the rim.
He's so putrid. He's just so bad.
That was quite a dog pile. It's like this Pavlovian response.
Oh, he's horrid. He's hurt, Murray. He's awful.
Well,
sinister Jeff Green.
With Brady in the news and the OTAs and all that, you know, speak of the devil and he shall appear. Carlton from Norwell, we've heard from him now the last couple of days as this story is starting to bubble.
Carlton in Tampa, what's your take today? Is it any different than what it's been the last 300 times you've called?
The Nantucket elite, a.k.a. Napkin Boy, a.k.a. Felger there, they never understand that when they abuse power, eventually the peasants, you know, the peons, us plebes, we tend to revolt if you push us far enough.
Okay, so they abuse power when Chuck and Tom under the bus. You know, they're all gone. Bond's holding up. Brady's holding up. Bond from Easton doesn't get. There's a gigantic difference when Brady's forced to sit by Goodell and we elect to sell.
Set because he's in revolution mode. I actually predict in the next 5 years, Catboy there with a surreptitious assist from Mass is going to revolt against Felger's blind, oblivious use of power, which he does repeatedly on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, so who does a better Carlton? Is it Jim Murray?
Have you never heard this quote, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men. The Nantucket elite. Murray's going to surreptitiously rise up and take over the show.
Okay, so does Murray do a better Carlton Oil, or does Mike and Woburn? Mike and Woburn's is pretty snappy, too. Go ahead, Mike.
The Patriots are going to go 6-10 when they start fumbling the ball all over the place. Jastrzemski and McNally are going to go state's evidence, and Bill Belichick he'll be banished to Siberia for the Patriots.
Hey, Carlton on the phone. What is it? What do you do? What do you put on a bagel after you get it? What do you do to it?
You put some cream cheese.
You smear it. You smear it.
just like he smears everybody out of town. And Bill Belichick will be the greatest coach in Cleveland history when he leaves to coach the Browns.
I know people hate him. I think he's a treat. It's good to hear from
Carlton.
Him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very valuable caller.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He's the one that makes us sound
rational,
moderate. Yeah. You know.
And then finally, this just happened. Always fun when we have a host not listening.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Well, maybe don't be in that position because your effing defense can't get off the effing field on third down time and again in the second half because the stubborn hole on the sideline decides to bench one of his better defenseless players.
Yeah, look, if you ask me to list the things that cost the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady's not in the top 10.
But is he in the top 10?
No, I'm just saying he's not in the top 10.
Oh, not in the top 10.
Wow, yeah. Jimmy.
Woo! That was an in-your-face I'm not listening.
Yeah. That's okay. I do it all the time.
I misunderstood it. So he's not. So that's not even in the top 10.
I don't think so.
This has been how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, boy.
That was strong to quite strong.
I'm telling you, it really is stunning how many of those a week we have. You know,
I'm looking you square in the eye. And even respond to the statement, I wasn't listening.
Well, yesterday I did.
You gave me an uh-huh. I said, remember in the final when he went and you went, uh-huh? Uh-huh. Yeah. He said, was that in the final? It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. That's special.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.